just listen to this man. He got some good news for you. Hey, everybody, gather near. The doctor's in the house, so lend him your ear. The things he can say might even make your day. He might even help your pain go away. The doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is in the house. This is Dr. Ron, host of Dr. Ron, unfiltered, uncensored, and our Dr. Ron's Wellness Warriors. Good afternoon, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about the healing power of light. Only a week ago, we experienced that beautiful phenomenon of the solar eclipse, and we went from darkness into light. And now today we'll explore some of the ways that light influences our lives and helps us to be stronger spiritually and physically. So we're going to shed some light on that, hopefully, in the short time that we have, and try to learn how to discern which rays to embrace and which to avoid. So we'll get light together. So as I've been telling you, we're warriors. I can only try to make you think. I cannot teach you. And so today, you know, we're going to hit on lights. And this goes back to what I've been trying to talk about. The future of medicine is now, and that's the frequency healing, using specific frequencies and vibrations to promote the healing of our body. Because everything in our universe has a frequency, a specific frequency, including our bodies and including the cells and DNA within them. So we want to use frequencies to align our body, restore balance, promote healing. And it is done through different methods, as we have talked about, especially with Dr. Jerry Smith, sound healing, tuning forks, music, right frequencies, and others. But warriors, we're not just about perfect health, are we? Perfect diets, unattainable beauty. Nope. We're about reclaiming our power. Embrace our vulnerabilities, nurture the sacred temple that is our body and spirit, and be the CEO of our bodies. Never being afraid to ask questions. Question everything. So today, as I said, we will navigate this healing light. And light treatment, you know, the sun, the frequencies, they're all related. How is the sun and frequency treatments related? Well, they're related through the electromagnetic spectrum, because that spectrum encompasses a wide range of electromagnetic waves, including what? Visible light, infrared radiation, ultraviolet radiation, radio, microwave, X-rays. Each of these types of electromagnetic waves has a specific range of frequencies and wavelengths. So we will be talking about the sun today. It's a natural source of light. It's been demonized. It emits a broad spectrum of electromagnetic radiation, including that visible light that we know and see, the infrared radiation, and the ultraviolet. And sunlight contains a mixture of different frequencies, different wavelengths. with visible light being just a small portion of everything else that's in sunlight. And remember, visible light is the portion of this spectrum that is visible to the human eye and is responsible for our sight. But we know we have different colors, ranging from red, the longer wavelengths, to lower frequencies, which are violet, which are really short. So light treatment, ladies and gentlemen, is known as phototherapy or photobiomodulation. So we can use light for treatment. It can have effects on different parts of the body by using different wavelengths of light. So light treatment, the sun, and frequencies are all related. So just to give you an idea of some conditions that are today being used, being treated with light therapy. Have you heard of seasonal affective disorder? They call it SAD. You know, that's why a lot of people come to Florida in the wintertime. They're depressed. They don't feel good. They know something's missing. They come down here and they shed their shirt and go to the beach and get some sunlight. You know, they feel better. Of course, when you have good sunlight during the day, you sleep better at night. And light therapy is used for sleep disorders, acne, psoriasis, eczema, some low-level laser therapy is used for non-healing wounds and mood disorders. How about jet lag? You know, they'll be having booths in the airport now when you get off a long intercontinental flight to help you relieve the symptoms of jet lag, because you could get exposed to light at a specific time before, during, and after your treatment and reset your internal clocks so you get adjusted to the new time zone. There's some interesting articles on dementia and cognitive function using red light. You know, they've been treating babies for 25, 30 years with ultraviolet light that have jaundice. It's called neonatal jaundice. They expose the baby's skin to specific wavelengths of blue light. And you know what that does? That breaks down the bilirubin and gets rid of the jaundice. So it's not something new. So there are 5 types of light. How about that? Here's something Michael Hamblin, H-A-M-B-L-I-N, said. Photobiomodulation is more than alternative kind of medical treatment. It is a whole new method to control cellular processes and modulate living organisms by precise alterations in the chemistry of the biomolecules. In other words, light can affect the chemistry. Photobiomodulation enables the contemporary clinician or therapist who holds a modern and multidisciplinary outlook to fight against diseases and other disorders in both humans and animals. Moreover, it is a possible way to stimulate or inhibit many different biological processes that occur in most, if not all, different living creatures. It could even be suggested that photobiomodulation is as old as life itself. In other words, what Michael was saying is that light therapy can be used in most species, and that what it does is like the right frequencies and healing frequencies. It enables the body to get coherent again. You know, when the frequencies of the violin and orchestra are out of tune, the whole orchestra is out of tune, when our liver, spleen, thyroid, thymus, whatever is out of tune, our whole body gets out of tune. So light and frequencies can restore this balance. And just as human cells need nutrients from food, we should not forget that light is also a necessary nutrient, because certain wavelengths can help power up our cells and affect neurotransmitters, enhance our performance. And it almost is a maxim, an axiom, that the human body needs light to be healthy. Seems strange, doesn't it? Not many people think of light as playing such an important role in our health. And not many people are aware of the fact that there are many types of light. And they affect our human cells. So what are the different forms of light, warriors? Well, we have the blue light. That sets up our circadian rhythm in our brain, which you can't believe how many neurotransmitters it affects. Ultraviolet light, that's important because it allows us to synthesize vitamin D. Far infrared, that heats up our cells. You know, when you're out in the sun and you feel hot, you're experiencing the far infrared light rays. And that stimulates cell function also and circulation. There's red light, and that acts on our mitochondria, our powerhouses in our cells, to stimulate more production of energy, ATP. And how many times a day do you or your friends say, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I wish I had more energy? Well, the red light's part of the sun can do that. Near infrared acts on the same pathways as the red light, and especially the mitochondria to stimulate that ATP to give us more energy. And remember, we talked about mitochondria. They have basically two functions, energy and fighting inflammation. So if you have a lot of inflammation in your body, those mitochondria are going to go to that route and fight inflammation, and that's why you're tired when you're sick. So mitochondria are very important for our health. And light is an essential nutrient for us. And I know what? I think modern humans are deficient in the benefits of all wavelengths in life. And there are health consequences if we don't get enough, right? So one, you say, Doc, what could be wrong with not getting light? Well, how about vitamin D deficiency from too little UV light? How about a disruption of our rhythm from too little blue light in the morning and too much artificial blue light at night? Here you have lack of vitamin D and you won't be able to sleep good. Two issues that are caused by inadequate or improper light exposure. So what have I been telling you? Don't eat processed or ultra-processed food because they're at the root of a lot of our chronic diseases. Well, maybe we should be talking about light like that. Our modern light environment. Too much of the wrong kinds or too little of the right kinds. We're getting it the wrong time of day. Maybe instead of malnutrition, we have malillumination. And maybe a lot of people have that and don't even know about it. Because sunlight deficiency has been linked to a lot of problems. I mentioned some of them earlier. Neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, dementia, MS, and Parkinson's. Dozens of cancers. Obesity, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, and even heart disease. I'll talk to you a little bit more about a Swedish study. I thought it was really interesting. 30,000 women for 20 years that were studied. I'll give you one of the conclusions and we'll get more into it later. Women with the lowest sun exposure had twice the rate of death compared to women with the most sun exposure. Think of that. 30,000 women followed by 20 years. There's more to that study, but basically being exposed to sun increases your lifespan. Would you like that? So we can have malnutrition by eating poorly, and we can have malillumination from getting a poor light exposure. So one person I read said, you know, people's light exposure habits are the equivalent of eating all McDonald's diet all day, every day. Yeah, a processed food diet. And, you know, I think all of us that are getting up into the those 80s, we know that we used to be exposed to a lot more light when we were younger, and our ancestors even more than us, because we spent more time under the sun, spent evenings outside. We didn't have air conditioning. And we hadn't really thought about sun for all these years until we got air conditioning, start working indoors, get all the blue light from our computer screens. So we spend a lot of time indoors. So we're massively deficient in exposing ourselves to the sun. So, you know, when we get treated with red or near infrared light, and we say, wow, we feel good. Well, that we're feeling good because a deficiency was filled. So we need light. Our bodies have evolved because of millions of years we've had this light from the sun. So if you're feeling miserable, you know, in the winter, come down to Florida, because you'll be uplifted. You know, our plants use light for photosynthesis to manufacture carbohydrates. Animals and humans have receptors for light in the eye and receptors in the skin, and we are able to manufacture vitamin D from that ultraviolet spectrum of the sun. So if to be truly healthy, to be a wellness warrior, we must include light in our approach to health. As I've talked to you about, Dr. Pop, P-O-O-P, he discovered that DNA communicates with each other throughout our whole body because of light. Every cell, guess this, every cell emits at least 100,000 light impulses per second of varying frequencies depending on the condition. So just think, if light stimulates processes in our body, wouldn't it be sort of obvious that if we are light deficient, then disease can take hold? You know, cancer cells do not emit any light. In fact, I was looking for another cell that emits that does not emit light. I couldn't find anything but a cancer cell. And cancer cells are very low frequency. So why do we think we can take a pill or a vitamin and that's enough for us to be healthy? We all know that pharmaceuticals, properly prescribed pharmaceuticals, are the fourth leading cause of death. Drugs have side effects. Vitamins have to be absorbed to be effective. We can overdose on them, right? Medicines. But what happens when you apply light to our bodies? The cells only take the photons from that light that they need. And if those cells that are taking in that light are underperforming and not allowing nutrients across the cell wall because of damage, the light can repair that damage and the nutrients can pass through the cell wall. Remember what Mr. Peskin said, Brian Peskin. The nucleus isn't the brain of the cell, it's the cell wall. Because that's where essential nutrients cross and cellular debris is gotten out of the cell. If you have a diseased cell membrane, well, nutrients can't get in and toxins can't get out. And we'll have chronic disease, fatigue, accelerated aging, you name it. So there's, you know, more than one answer to being healthy. And there's parent essential oils, getting rid of the trans fatty acids, but also light repolarizes injured cell membranes. And as I said, it increases mitochondrial energy, gets that ATP going. And you could research this and you'll see that light healing has been going on for centuries. Lots of articles and scientists working on coherent light. This Dr. Popp, P-O-P-P, demonstrated that weak light emissions of low intensity were able to control the body, and that light in the body may be a factor that determines health and illness. So why am I talking to you about it? Well, it's more than just what we eat and drink and think. It's also light. And I think the Bible starts out really early saying, when God says, let there be light. So when you have disordered frequencies, you have disease. And when you have disordered light, you have disease. And I'm not going to go in through all the different types of light today, but light is just so important for healing generally of cells, for pain control, and to increase our DNA and RNA synthesis. It just has so many, many good effects. Let me just talk a little bit. Let me see if I can find that study. I wanted to talk to you about that Swedish study. This study was published in the Journal of Internal Medicine, and it's about the sun. The study was called Avoidance of Sun Exposure as a Risk Factor for Major Causes of Death, Competing Risk Analysis of the Melanoma Southern Sweden Cohort. This study, as I said, was done by Swedish researchers, 30,000 women. They assessed the differences in sun exposure for 20 years. And there was also a 20-year follow-up of the melanoma in southern Sweden. Women were aged 25 to 64 at the start of the study. And they were recruited from 1990 to 1992. When their sun exposure habits were analyzed using modern statistics, they discovered several things. Number one, women with active sun exposure habits were mainly at a lower risk of cardiovascular disease and non-cardiovascular disease as opposed to those who avoided the sun. So a lower risk of dying from heart disease. But because they lived so long, they also found out as a result of their increased survival, their relative contribution of cancer death increased in these women. Because if you live long enough, everybody's going to get some cancer. But that's a little tricky to understand. Because cancer risk does increase with biological age. The longer you live, the higher your cancer risk will be. Therefore, because increased sunlight exposure actually increases your longevity, it would appear that you'd be at an increased risk. But this is not necessarily from the sunlight being carcinogenic, as is commonly consumed. It is not the sunlight that is intrinsically carcinogenic. It's because you're living longer. But sunlight did reduce the number. Well, you know, the CDC will say it's the number one killer, heart disease, but we know it's doctors. Heart disease is decreased because of sunlight. We'll talk another time about cancer diagnosis, because in my opinion, and after reading extensively, cancers are overdiagnosed and overtreated, my humble opinion. Non-smokers, ladies and gentlemen, who avoided sun exposure, avoid it, had a life expectancy similar to smokers in the highest sun exposure group. What did that indicate? That indicated that the avoidance of sun exposure is a risk factor for death similar to smoking. That's pretty powerful. Now, that's not, if you're going to slather synthetic sunscreens, that doesn't apply. These synthetic sunscreens virtually guaranteed to cause harm from the toxicant exposure. Not talking about going out into the sun and slathering all these petrochemicals all over your body, or spraying them, which is even worse because you can inhale them. So our sunlight and light is important to our health, so we don't become malilluminated. Like if we eat wrong, we become malnourished. I would ask you to go to ewg.org, sunscreens, and check out, especially the aerosol ones, how they've been associated with different forms of cancer. So I'm talking about sunlight without the petrochemical sunscreens. They even have nanoparticles in them, nanoparticles of metals that can get into your skin as your pores open up. So let's think of sun as part of our food chain. So we can get energy in it. It gives us information. It's important for vitamin D and other hormones. Very important for us because we can have longevity. You know, we came into this evolutionary cycle with no hair and big brains. A lot of people think that's because of sun exposure, and it would not have evolved without daily exposure for the sun for hundreds or even millions of years. Think about that. So if sunlight deficiency or not getting enough sun is really as deadly as actively smoking cigarettes, it could be said that those who do not experience regular natural light exposure are no longer truly human. Well, that's not so true, but that's one author's opinion. But you will not experience optimal health if you do not get sun exposure. So a fundamental thing that warriors should do would be daily outdoor exposure to the sun. So, hope I give you a little bit of something to think about, something to research on the healing power of light and how important it is mentally, physically, spiritually. Malillumination, similar to malnutrition, both lead to dis-ease and need to be balanced. Ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate your listening. I'm on Spotify and Apple and Alexa and just about wherever. And you can also find us on BitChute and Rumble. BitChute and Rumble. Dr. Ron is the title. So this is Dr. Ron, Unfiltered, Uncensored. We're going to close it up for today. Everybody be well, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Ron's finished for today. I hope you got some good wisdom for what the man had to say. And it's all about good health. He's the man you got to see. He has a lot more answers for you. So tune in next week when the doctor is in the house. When the doctor is in the house, let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house, the doctor is in the house, the doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house, the doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house, so if you have a pain, call the doctor. And if you have a strain, call the doctor. And let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house,